Welcome to this sermon by Dr. Bruce Martin, pastor of Village Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Now let's prepare our hearts as we listen to what God would have us learn today.
The great evangelist preacher D.L. Moody was once addressing a congregation and he brought a glass into the pulpit. And he posed the question to that large audience, how would we get the air out of this glass? Someone said, well, you can vacuum it out. You can suck the air out. Somebody else said another, and there were several responses on how to get the air out of the glass. Then D.L. Moody picked up a pitcher of water, and he poured it in to overflowing, thus illustrating how to get the air out. But he said this, the victorious Christian life is not a matter of what you take out of your life, but it's a matter of what you put into your life. What a great illustration. Victory in the Christian life is not what you take out. And I believe we're living in a day when many have defined Christianity as that which you don't do instead of that which you have. It's what you put into your life. What God puts into your life that makes the difference. Now let me ask you, how full is your cup? The psalmist says, my cup runneth over. How full is your cup? And not only that, what's in your cup? You brought the cup of your heart into this church today. Is it full of bitterness or anger or rage at someone? What's in the cup? Has God's Spirit in this cup? Called your heart. You realize too that our most dangerous time in life is when this cup's empty. Read the Bible, the people who had an empty cup and the danger that they faced. Esau sold his birthright when he was running on empty. Elijah abandoned ministry and his calling when he was running on empty. Samson became a slave when he was running on empty. And there in that garden, those disciples couldn't pray with Jesus that night. And so they denied the Lord because they were operating on empty. Dangerous things happen when you operate on empty. Did I tell you about the Baptist preacher and the Jewish rabbi and the Hindu who ran out of gas? I hadn't told you that story. How they were driving along one night, ran out of gas, and they were in the country and all they had was a farmhouse nearby. And they asked the farmer if they could spend the night. He said, sure. He said, but they only have two beds. Somebody has to sleep in the barn. The Hindu said, well, I'm a lowly, humble man. I'll sleep in the barn. And he went out to sleep in the barn. And after a few moments, there was a knock on the door. They opened the door. There stood the Hindu guy saying, I can't sleep in the barn. There's cows out there. It's against my religion. Jewish rabbi said, I'll sleep in the barn. He went out to the barn. Pretty soon there was a knock on the door. There stood the Jewish rabbi. He said, I can't sleep in the barn. There's pigs in that barn. It's against my religion. The Baptist preacher said, I'll sleep in the barn. So the Baptist preacher went out to the barn. Pretty soon there was a knock on the door. They opened the door. There stood the cow and the pig. We're not sleeping with that Baptist preacher. You ever realize you get in trouble when you operate on empty? You know, the Bible says this. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, be filled with God's Spirit. Listen, God has given us a day in which we're to fill our cup. That's why He gave us a Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day for filling. And when you don't get here, guess what happens? That's what happens. There's a day for filling called the Sabbath. There's a place for filling called His church. The church is a place where the redeemed gather so that they can be filled. There's a way to be filled called worship. And if you look at people as they worship God, when David sang to King Saul, even when he was depressed, in worship, King Saul was revived. Even King Saul. There's a way in worship. And there's the stuff to be filled with. God gave us the stuff and He called it the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. We say that in the nature of the one God, He expresses Himself three ways, as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. each is called God. God is one, but we say that that Holy Spirit, Him, it's God who fills us with Himself. Here's a good some definitions. I sat down and said, well, what are some definitions of the Holy Spirit? Here's a brand new definition from me on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power to live the life. That's a great one. It's the power to live the life. You can't live the life without God's Holy Spirit. Did you know that? If you try to do it yourself, it's kind of like living the Ten Commandments. They couldn't do it. But the Spirit is the power to live the life. Listen, the Spirit is His real presence in me. The Spirit is the antivirus for the virus of sin. The Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is the instructor and opens up to us the deep things of God. John chapter 16. He shall lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the wellspring. He shall be in you as a wellspring of living water. He's the magnet that draws us. And He is, according to Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, wait in that upper room till you receive the gift, which is the Holy Spirit, and then you shall be my witnesses. He is the power to share Christ with a lost world. I believe that we have a spirit deficit disorder in the church. I believe so many people come to church empty and they leave empty. And today I want to talk about how to ask for the Holy Spirit. How to be filled and obey that command with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus tells us something about the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 11. Look at chapter 11 of Acts. We're going to start reading at verse 5. He's talking here about persistence in prayer. But more than that, he's talking about being faithful and being faithful and being faithful and sticking with it. And then at the end, he says, it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's got a surprise ending. Listen to what he says. And then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him such as he needs. You want God's Holy Spirit? You seek him boldly. Now say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And the verb tenses in the Greek there are continuous action. Don't stop. Don't stop. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now you thought He was talking about prayer, didn't you? That's not what He's talking about. At the end, He gives us a little twist. It's about the Holy Spirit. Are you seeking God's Spirit continuously to stay filled with His Spirit? Now, I think that if you're going to be filled with God's Spirit, there's 5 things you've got to ask for. He said you've got to ask for the Holy Spirit. Now let me just encourage you. The reason we need to keep asking for the Holy Spirit is because some of you leak. All right? Some of your pots are cracked. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think you're a crackpot. Your pots are cracked. You leak. Now, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit is continuously, he's saying there, is continuously asking God for something. So I had to say, well, what did I ask God for? And as I sat down and prayed about what I asked God for to keep my cup filled, I realized that these are 5 of the hardest prayers you'll ever pray. I'm going to give you five prayers to pray for God to fill your cup. And these are the hardest prayers. If you can pray them, if you dare to pray them, I think you'll see God filling your life. What's the first hard prayer to pray? First one is, inspect me. Inspect me. Write down Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. You know what it says. It says, search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the ways everlasting. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. You see, the first thing we've got to do if we want to be filled with the Spirit is we've got to say, God, inspect me. Search me, O God, and see if there's... see what in me is contrary to your will, and what in me is contrary to your way. Now, I just said that was hard prayer to pray. I want to read a story that I found from Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is a counselor. And I'm going to have to read a lot of this story. It's a little bit long, but I hope you'll stick with me in this story. It's about a school teacher, unmarried school teacher, that he was counseling in a group. And he says this. She said that she was, when she was a little girl, her parents divorced, her mother left, she lived with her dad. And she said, I spent my whole life trying to please my father. And no matter what I did, it wasn't good enough. Perhaps you're there. I wasn't good enough. I'd come home from school, try to prepare a nice meal. He'd get home, find something wrong with it. I'd spend all day cleaning the house. He'd come home, found something wrong. She said, I spent my whole life trying to get a few crumbs of love and acceptance from my father's table. He never praised her. Now that she's teaching school, she's still unmarried. She said, the reason I'm unmarried is because I desperately want to be married, but nobody will marry me. When asked why not, she said, when I start dating someone, I'm such a needy and grasping person, they can't understand the intensity of the relationship. I smother people. I just want to please people, to satisfy myself. I even compromise myself to make people happy. And the counselor said this, listen to this. Counselor said, have you ever given up all rights and surrendered yourself totally to the Lord? Have you given up all right to be loved by people? And she responded, why would God ask that of me? He said, why don't you just say, God, I give up all right to be loved to people. Trying so hard to be loved. And she said, I give up all rights to be loved. And the counselor said, well, you know, Jesus gave up his right to be loved when he went to the cross. So that girl went over to a corner and tried to pray, God, I give up all rights to be loved. He said, I looked over and there was a battle going on. She was pounding on that wall saying, I cannot give up my rights to be loved. I deserve love. I deserve love. And finally, he said, she came back to that circle in that group. And she said, I guess I have nothing to lose. This trying to get my needs met hasn't worked. And so he said she got on her knees, gave up all rights to be loved, trusting that Christ would be her need for love and acceptance. He said he got a letter from her sometime later saying that it had set her free. She said, I've become a happy person. She says, my children, she said, there was snow the other day and I slid down the bank beside the school with the kids. They couldn't believe it was me sliding down the hill. She said, I'm free. Why? She said she was free because she was willing to ask one question. She's willing to ask, show me what I need to change. Show me what I need to change to let you have full control of me. And some of you need to say that before you can be filled with the Spirit. God, what do I need to change so that you can have full control of me? Now, that's hard. Remember that book, My Heart, God's Home? My Heart, Christ's Home? Which a guy invites Jesus in and he comes into the living room of his life and he invites him into the dining room of his appetites. He invites him into his workroom and he invites him into his playroom. But he said, there's one closet that's locked with stuff in it I didn't want Jesus to see. And Jesus, that's the closet. Jesus said, I want you to open that closet. He said, I can't. I can't let you see that, Jesus. The stuff behind that door is just too filthy. I can't let you. Jesus said, give me the key and I'll clean it for you. And this man said, I spiritually gave Jesus the key. And he opened that closet door and he said, I was so embarrassed. But when Jesus got in my closet, He said, my life changed. You see, inspect me, O Lord, search me. And I believe that that first prayer that you pray for a long time is, search me, O God. Search me, see if there's any wicked way. Second, after you pray, search me, you have to pray, incinerate me. Incinerate. And incinerate in me, that means burn up everything in me that is contrary to your will. Incinerate everything that resists your will. Can I tell you about a church? I get things in the mail, and this is a group of revival preachers who sent this out. I'm sure that I'm going to get a letter, a call from them next week saying, can we come and do this in your church? But they wrote about a church they were in Tennessee called Candy's Creek Baptist Church. They were having revival in this church, and he said third night of the meeting, two people came forward and said, asked if they could speak publicly to the congregation. And they stood up and said, we ask you to forgive us of our sin and our hypocrisy. And he said, through their honesty and humiliation, he said, the Spirit of God fell upon that church. People began to stand up and talk about sin in their life. He said, we had over 25 hours of testimonies. Preacher didn't have to preach. People came one up right another, confessing their sins, making up with their brothers in church. Listen to some of the testimonies. One man said, God performed open heart surgery on my spiritual walk, brain surgery on my thinking, extreme home makeover on my house. We had allowed a huge wall of indifference and coldness to build up in our marriage. We rarely touched or hugged each other, hardly spoke to each other. God showed me that I needed to repent of my actions. I needed to take in obedience. And a glacier has melted between me and my wife. What happened? He said, God, I want you to incinerate in me. Incinerate in me. That which is wrong, that which is not working. Another man wrote this, the spirit of brokenness was far above anything that I've ever seen or experienced. We could actually see God working in power. Listen to what D.L. Moody says. I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride, of selfishness, and of ambition, and everything that's contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we're full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. We must empty before we can be filled. Isn't that a good statement? So in other words, God, I want to be crucified with Christ. And I'm going to nail some things to the cross. I'm going to actually come to this altar and say, God, I want you to incinerate in me that which is hurting my relationship with you and others. God, incinerate. Number three, indwell. You see, you can't really say indwell until first you have inspected and incinerated. Then third thing, indwell me. Now, I'm going to tell you what indwelling of the Holy Spirit means. I used to fellowship with charismatics. And when I was in the military, all my friends were charismatics. And I went to charismatic churches. Man, I could dance with the best of them. You haven't seen anything until you've seen me jump up and down. But I'll tell you, I used to love to worship with charismatics. I just love them to death. But they have this idea that when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's akin to being tasered by the police. Do you know what I mean? You know, when you get the Holy Spirit, it's a taser experience. No, it's not. Did you pray for the Holy Spirit? Yes, I did. God, give me your Holy Spirit. I want your Holy Spirit. But you know what he did? I realized that the Holy Spirit didn't come on me like he did on other people. But I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, and I want you to write these words down. The Holy Spirit installs God's operating system in your life. The Holy Spirit installs God's operating system in your life. My computer crashed last year. Took it to get it fixed. You know what they did to the hard drive? Hard drive that has all the memories? They washed it clean, didn't they? They cleaned up the hard drive. Took everything off my hard drive. Didn't hurt me a bit. Didn't hurt the computer either. Took everything off the hard drive, incinerated it, and then they put a new operating system on that hard drive. You see, if we do that for computers, isn't that what God does with us? He puts His operating system in our heart. You see, a lot of people come to church and they worship Jesus Christ, but they've never received His operating system. And the Holy Spirit is now, I operate like Jesus. Now I know how to operate because He has downloaded His operating system into my heart. Amen? That's what He does. And then after He indwells you, here's the fourth thing. Then He instructs you. You see, let me show you something I got in my pocket here. I got to show you this. We're running out of time. Oh, wait, we only had three songs. I got an extra 15 minutes. Here we go. Oh, I lost the cover. This is a Palm Pilot that is 6 years old, at least 6 years old, because I lost it 6 years ago. I didn't get it back until about 2 weeks ago. This was what I'd do. I would carry this Palm Pilot. It had a little stylus, and I'd write on it. And if a note came up, I would write that note and store it and bring it back to the office. And so any ideas for sermons, I'd write on my Palm Pilot. Well, it got missing. And I looked for this Palm Pilot for years. I tore the house up. I missed my Palm Pilot. 6 years ago, I lost this puppy. Well, a few weeks ago, our minister of music was here for an interview. And you know minister of music. They are administratively challenged. Can we just say that? They are so artsy, they can't do anything. So this guy's carrying all these papers around that we're giving him. And I said, buddy, come here. Let me give you a satchel. I got satchels, people. I'm going to give you a satchel. Now, put all your papers in that and look like a professional. You're about to meet the committee, for heaven's sakes. So I give him this satchel, and the guy that we selected is the guy that I gave the satchel to. He comes back with his family 2 weeks later and says, I found this in your satchel. My Palm Pilot. And if you see it, it had a little flash on it thing you opened up here. And it's got how to write in here. Listen, when I got this Palm Pilot, I had to sit down for days and figure out how it works. Some of you've got an iPhone. Did you learn how to work that iPhone the first day? No. You had to learn how it operates. You get an iPad. Man, you're still learning how that iPad works. Some of you will spend your whole life trying to figure that thing out. And you still won't have it. Well, I want to tell you something. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, you don't understand the Holy Spirit when you get Him. I mean, He's downloaded His principles, but you've got to say, God, show me how to work this thing. Have you really said, God, I want you to show me how to work the Holy Spirit? By the way, did I tell you about the three little boys watching the fire truck come by? Three little boys watch the fire truck come by, and they see the Dalmatian dog sitting on the fire truck. And one of the boys says, why do firemen have Dalmatian dogs? One of the boys said, I think it's for crowd control. Other little boy said, no, I think it's a good luck charm. Third little boy said, no, it's to find the fire hydrants. That's just a very, listen. Now we got to say, instruction. How's it work? You've got to say, God, I want you to instruct me. Now, to be filled with Spirit is a continuous action. Did I tell you that? Those words there are continuous action. Show me how to do two things. I want you to write these two things down. I've got to learn how to be sensitive and responsive. Two things. I want you to show me how to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And I want you to show me how to be responsive to your Holy Spirit. Because now that He's downloaded into your heart His Spirit, that Spirit's going to be, it's going to kick up at times and say, hey, I want you to address this in your life. And teach me how to be responsive to your Holy Spirit. Sensitive and responsive to your Holy Spirit. And then here's the fifth thing. Ignite me. Ignite in me your Holy Spirit. Ignite in me that which will make your Holy Spirit contagious. Ignite in me. You know, I've said this before. You're to be the spark. You're to be the flint that sparks someone else's life. Let me put it this way. Let's suppose somebody, your boss, comes to you and says, hey, you're such a good worker. I am giving you and your family a 1 week cruise to the Caribbean. Wow. Wouldn't you like that? Hey, 1 week cruise to the Caribbean, you and your family, but you take that cruise and you go to the cruise, the travel agency, you say, hey, listen, this is for me and my family. I want you to take this and make it 4 weeks for me and for me only. I don't want anybody in the family to go, this cruise is for me. Or say you take that and you put it in a drawer and you close the drawer and you forget it's there. Well, you have just made a capital mistake. But you know what many people do with the Holy Spirit? They take the Holy Spirit and say, it's just for me. I'm coming to fill my cup so I can feel good. The Holy Spirit is mine. I'm locking him up in a drawer and you never hear from him again. I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit, when they received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, they went into the streets and they shared Christ. Ignite something in me that will release the kingdom. That's what you ignite. How can you release the kingdom through me? We're not here just to say, hey, I've got my pass, I'm going to enter the kingdom. No, no, no. We are to bring the kingdom to the world. And God, I want you to release the kingdom through me. I want to tell you what I found. Somebody talked about the Holy Spirit. They said amazing things happen when God sends forth His Holy Spirit. He said when God sends His Spirit, barriers are broken, communities are formed, opposites are reconciled, unity is established, disease is cured, addiction is broken, cities are renewed, races are reconciled, hope is established, people are blessed. When the Holy Spirit comes, discouraged folks cheer up, dishonest folks fess up, sour folks sweeten up. Let me read that again. Sour folks sweeten up, closed folks open up, gossipers shut up. Do I need to read that one again? Conflicted folks make up, sleeping folks wake up, lukewarm folks fire up, dry bones shake up, pew potatoes stand up, but most of all, Christ is lifted up. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit's for. It's not just for your fun and pleasure. He is for, it's a He by the way, He comes into you to become your operating system so that you can be a kingdom igniter in this world. Did I tell you about the guy, the preacher, who said that when his daughter was a little girl, he took her to see. She was old enough to hear the story. She couldn't wait to see the movie, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. She was in love with that princess. Oh, what a story. He said she sat on the edge of her seat and watched that movie, Snow White. Oh, she was in love with Snow White. And she sang that song, Someday, I'll not sing it, My Prince Will Come. You know that song? Someday My Prince Will Come. And she watched as she got under the spell of a wicked witch. And she ate the fruit and she died, in essence, became comatose. And the pastor said, I watched that movie and realized that's us. We've come under the spell of sin. And he watched as one day her prince came and gave her a kiss that woke her up. And that pastor said as he watched that, he realized that our prince came. And the prince that humanity is looking for, the Savior, is Jesus Christ. And it's not just enough to know that he came. He's got to plant that kiss that breaks the bonds. That's the kiss of his redeeming love and of his Holy Spirit. And some of you here today, you know all about the prince. You're glad the prince came. But has that prince really broken the spell of sin over your life? And you've got to come and say, Lord, I want Jesus, the Son of God, who died on that cross to break that spell of sin, that grip of sin on me, to come and to kiss me with the kiss which is His Holy Spirit. And you need to say four things. Inspect me. Incinerate in me. Indwell me, instruct me, and ignite me for kingdom purpose. When you do that, guess what's going to happen? Guess what you'll get? He's going to pour Himself into your heart. It is the Holy Spirit. He is the power to live the life. He is the real presence of Jesus. Lord Jesus, pour Yourself in me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today we've looked at five very difficult prayers. And if somebody could pray that first one right now, inspect me. See if there's any wicked way in me. I wonder what you would show. And would they be willing to go to step two, incinerate in me anything that's contrary to Your will and to Your way. And then step number three, indwell me. Lord, install Your operating system, the hard drive of my life, and then instruct me. Show me how to be sensitive and responsive, and to live as a sensitive, responsive person to your Spirit, like Philip, who when the Spirit said, join yourself to that eunuch, he did. Led him to Christ. And then ignite me, that I might make kingdom contributions, that I might be the flint that sparks someone's life. Father, I pray that everybody will get to that point that the psalmist got to. My cup runneth over with praise, with thankfulness, with love for Jesus Christ. And if someone here today has never had that cup cleansed and filled, I pray that right now they will. If you're here today and the Prince has never come into your life, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God who died on that cross and rose again. That Prince has come, Savior of the world. He came and we nailed Him to a cross and He rose again. And He's willing to break the spell of evil and sin in your heart. If you'll give Him your life today, would you do that? You do that by praying a prayer right where you are. Just say, Almighty God, I realize that the real Prince of life has come, your Son Jesus. And I accept Him as my Savior. I know I'm a sinner. And I ask You to pour Him into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. As I acknowledge Him as the one who died for me on that cross and rose again. And I ask You to save me now. Make me Yours. Take me to Yourself. Implant in me Your Son Jesus. That from this day forward I will live for Him alone. As today in this church I give my life to Christ. In His name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Village Baptist Church. If you would like to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do so right now. Simply bow your head right where you are. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and become the Lord of your life. Please do this today. None of us are promised tomorrow. We would love to hear about any stories, decisions, or feedback that you would like to share with us. We trust that you have been blessed today and hope that you will join us again for our next service at Village Baptist Church.